Second Peter. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how to study the Bible, and I suggested that it's a good idea to study a book and pick a small one. And so what I would like to do is take this little book, it's a very small book, Second Peter, and see how many of you will get involved on studying this little book. We're going to start out tonight with some introduction to it. But we said the best thing to do before you do anything in studying a book is to read it. And I suggested that you read it 7 times. Now, it's not like you're going to read the book of Genesis here. It's, what do we got here? 3 chapters. So it's not very long. But if you would like to do this, then I won't be here this Sunday, but I will be back, Lord willing, for the next Thursday night and next Sunday. What I'd like to do on Sunday mornings at 10:30, not starting this week, but a week from Sunday, is grab a coffee and then sit down and have a discussion period about First Peter or Second Peter. And so your homework, if you're going to get involved in this, is simply read 2 Peter 7 times between now and a week from Sunday. That's not much homework, so I think most of us can handle that. But I think we can have a lot of fun with this book if we'll do it together. And we'll have a coffee at 10:30 as we usually do, but we'll get together and we'll have a discussion period and talk about what we've gleaned out of this little book. So it starts out, let's read the first few verses. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, we're not going to get past that many verses tonight, for sure. But I was thinking today that Peter has had an interesting trip. He started out as a fisherman. The story, Jesus is walking along, and he says to him one day, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Peter did. I don't think that he just showed up that day and that was the first time Peter ever saw him. I think Jesus had been preaching and Peter had been listening and heard some sermons and obviously began to realize that he was very interested in what Jesus had to offer. So he says, I want you to follow me, Peter, and I will make you to become fishers of men. It's been an interesting trip for Peter since that day. If you look at verse 13, of this chapter, he says to these people that he's writing to, Peter does, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So Peter obviously knows that life is over for him. He is going, he said, as the Lord showed me. Now, he showed him that in John 21. You remember, he told him that he would be crucified like Jesus was crucified, and he was. And he knew that was coming. And interestingly enough, some things you see here, First of all, humility. Absolute humility. Why do I say that? Because he starts this letter out, Simon Peter. Simon Peter. Now, if you look at 1 Peter, I don't know how much prior to 2 Peter it was written, but he starts it out, Peter an apostle. But he starts out his second letter, Simon Peter, a servant, and he tacks on, and an apostle. Now, the word Simon in the Greek means little pebble, little wee stone. If you look at the scriptures, you'll find that Jesus, in Matthew 4 and 18, it talks about Simon, who is called Peter. And Jesus said, I'm changing your name from Simon to Caiaphas, which is another way of saying Peter. Now, Peter means big stone. And he's saying, Simon, you little pebble, I'm going to make a big stone out of you. And he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, I said last week, we've got to be very careful to study to see what the words mean. And the word rock and the word pebble and the word stone are three different words. And the Catholics build their whole organization on that verse, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. They're saying Peter was the first pope. Popes aren't married, but he had a mother-in-law. You got to be crazy to have a mother-in-law if you're not married. But anyway, what Jesus said was this, thou art Peter, a stone, and pointing to himself, he said, upon this rock, which that word means mountain, I will build my church. And so Peter's name was changed from little pebble to big rock. But now at the end of his life, he starts out this letter. And, you know, even Paul, you'll find through his life, he said, I'm an apostle. I am an apostle. Listen to me, I'm an apostle. And he was, but they wouldn't listen to him. Somewhat frustrated. At the end of his life, he said, I'm a sinner. I'm the greatest of sinners, he said. He was still an apostle, but he began to see himself as God's son. Like Job. Job said, I saw God now after all this suffering. He said, I know God. And so Simon, he was worrying about his throne. You can't go to the cross. I want one of those thrones. We're going to kick out the Romans. Jesus said, get thee behind me. Thou art a fence to me. I got to die. Why? Because the little kid's going to be in Toronto. His name's Bobby Kirkland. He's 12 years old and he won't get saved unless I die. That'd be me. And you wouldn't get saved either unless he died. Peter didn't understand that. He didn't want to understand that. He wanted a throne. Now, at the end of his life, he said, after my decease, I want you to remember some things. Simon, Simon, this little pebble is writing to you. Simon, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Simon, Peter, a servant and an apostle. So he not only says, I'm a little stone, he says, I'm a servant. And that word servant means bond slave. But you remember bond slaves are slaves who after the law said they could only keep a slave, I think it was 7 years, and they had to let them go. But if a slave wanted to remain with his master, they would have a hole punched in his ear. He would become what was known as a bond slave. Now the law had laws, regulations and rules about what you could do or not do with your slave. But a bond slave had absolutely no rights whatsoever. If you became a bond slave and you said to your master, I want to stay on and be your bond slave, he could do anything he wanted with you. He could starve you to death while he was working you, and that was fine. There's no laws for a bond slave. He could overwork you. He could beat you. He could do anything he wanted to do with you if you were a bond slave. He had no rights whatsoever. So Peter says, I'm a little pebble. I'm a little pebble, Peter. A bond slave. I have absolutely no rights whatsoever. See, he thought he had a right to one of those thrones because he was an apostle. Well, he did. That was a fact. But now he's getting the attitude that he needed to have many years ago. And he's writing to us saying, maybe you could pick this up, get this attitude. Simon, Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, he writes to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. This word obtained is an interesting word. Zacharias in Luke chapter 1 and verse 9 said his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. That's the same word that's translated obtained here. It's something, his lot, his responsibility. He had a acquired responsibility. That's what Zacharias had. It was his lot to burn incense, to get a hold of something. So he says, it is your lot. It is your lot. He said, I'm writing to them that have the responsibility, that have acquired the responsibility of this precious faith that we have. And so he's trying to get that point across. Obtained, verse 1, obtained like precious faith. Faith. Now, we did a long series on that word. The word is found in the Bible 247 times, faith. It's only two times in the entire Old Testament. I find that very interesting. The first is in, do go with me there to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And God is rebuking his people sharply. And he says in 32 and verse number 20, he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. No faith. He is upset. He says in verse 2 of this chapter, he talks about my doctrine. He talks about my speech. He said, I will publish the name of the Lord. He says in verse 5, they have corrupted themselves. He said in verse 6, do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? He says to them in verse 7, remember the days of old. And it says in verse 16, they provoked him. They were sacrificing, verse 7, to devils. And verse 19 says, and the Lord saw it. And he's upset. He said, they are a forward generation, children in whom is no faith. And in the middle of 21, he says, they have provoked me to anger. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. He said, I will bring a foolish nation against them, and they will be judged that way. So, no faith. Now, the word faith here means trust. The Hebrew word means to trust. And so he said, my people don't trust me. My people don't trust me. And we don't know how much we trust God till we need to. I was talking to a pastor this week, and he said they started off this year really in trouble financially. we can relate right now. And they didn't know what to do. They're going to have to cut back. They're going to have to do this. They're going to have to do that. They had a meeting and they decided, let's just carry on like we normally do. Let's just trust God. And he said, we did. It's the middle of January and things are looking up. Just trust God. Twice in the Old Testament, you have the word faith. Here the word means trust. The second time you find it is in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. And it says there, the just shall live by his faith. That word means truth. Now, you know, we looked at it in the New Testament. And sometimes the word faith means trust. And sometimes the word faith means to the truth, the body of belief, the doctrine that we believe in. Keep the faith. Now, in this Habakkuk 2 and 4, it says the just shall live by his faith, his doctrine. What he believes is what he should live by. Now, the phrase, the faith, as we said this before, the faith is found in the Bible 42 times. The faith. Your faith is found in the Bible 24 times. Your faith. Now, 1 Peter 1:7, if you go back there with me, it says the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold. Doesn't feel like that sometimes, but he says the trial of your faith. So you see, the situation is the faith has to be your faith. It's just, it's not going to do you any good just to have it in your head. He said the faith has to become your faith, your faith. And Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, be it unto you. So it's not, the word is not trust there. The word is belief. According to your faith, be it unto you. So that's the way it's going to be. Peter's saying, I'm going now. I'm going to die. This is what I want you to remember. Remember this. According to your faith be it unto you. Now look at verse 1. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Like precious faith. So, the word precious is in 1 and 2 Peter, guess, 7 times. So many things in the King James Bible, 7 times, which they destroyed with their Mickey Mouse translations. Now, look at verse 4. He is one of them where he talks about precious promises. So you have the word precious 7 times in these 2 books. Here in verse 4, you have precious promises. You have in verse 1, precious faith. Precious faith. Now, you have the phrase in the New Testament, little faith, 5 times. So, you have no faith, you have little faith, you have the faith, you have your faith. When you see the words, and it's only there 5 times, little faith, that's when Jesus used that phrase, and he used it when they were going down in the ship, and he says, oh, ye of little faith. And the word there is not the same word as the rest of them. It means, you didn't trust me. Oh, little trust. You didn't trust me to get the other side. We said last week on Sunday, he said, we're going to the other side. They went to the other side, but in the middle, it didn't look like they were going to the other side. What's your problem? You didn't trust me. Didn't look good. Looks like they're going down. But they got the other side because Jesus said they were going to the other side. Little faith. Now, in verse 1, you have the phrase, with us. That phrase is in the Bible 92 times. Like precious faith with us. Now, you have the phrase in the Bible with them 252 times. Here, what we have to figure out, are we with us or are we with them? There's two groups here. The first time that you have the phrase with them in the Bible, it is referring to those who were with Noah and his family in the ark, which was animals. And Noah and his family were in there with them. With them. And what happened? Well, the rest died. So he says, I am writing to those who have obtained, who have taken on this responsibility to have this precious faith, what you believe, with us, through the knowledge of God. The word knowledge is in 2 Peter 7 times. So if you want to do a study, we won't do it tonight, but if you want to do a study in 2 Peter, we will go through this little book and see it. Knowledge. So verse 1 says, they have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So how are you going to get this like precious faith? Through the righteousness of God. There's been a lot of ink used up in paper on Romans 1:17 that says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's quoting Habakkuk, which we said, the just shall live by his faith. So Romans 1:17, it says, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Now look at our first verse 1. They've obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. How is it revealed? From faith to faith. Now the word means what you believe to what you believe. We get a little further down in this chapter, and he's saying, I want you to add to your faith virtue, and add to your virtue, and add, and so on. Seven things it says to add. So he says, you are going to get this, and you'll see as we go through here, it's a byproduct. It's a byproduct revealed to us from God as we go from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And Habakkuk says his faith. So it all boils down to the just shall live by his faith. So there's saving faith, and then there's faith. There's seven steps there, as we see in this chapter as we go down through it. We already looked at it a week ago. Faith to faith. Building on what you believe. That's what it means. What we believe. How do we get it? Well, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how faith comes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, so what do we got just from verse 1? We have humility. Because, see, there's no sense taking a book and studying it if we don't, it's written for our admonition. We say, what is this, a history lesson of what went on with Peter? And he's dying, and he's trying to get all these people to shape up. No, lesson number one, humility. He says, I am a little pebble. Simon, I am a little pebble. So we have humility. Then we have Simon Peter, as I've mentioned, he gets a focus on the bigger picture. The bigger picture. When he was with Jesus for 3.5 years, his focus was on those thrones. Oh, we're going to kick out the Romans and we're going to take over. That's going to be really great. I'm going to have some power. I'm going to be getting all this area is going to be mine. And he's got it all pictured in his head how it's going to be. And now, at the end of his life, he's got to focus on the bigger picture. Much bigger picture. Yeah. Yeah, he's going to have his throne. It'll be over 2,000 years before he gets it. But he will have one of those thrones. He will reign with Jesus Christ one day. But he sees the bigger picture. And I think he's looking back, and he goes through this chapter, and he says to them, look at verse 5 or 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He cannot see the bigger picture and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And he says in verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Get the bigger picture. You know, we sit around this little planet. We've got our little focus on now instead of the big picture. And it's so easy. It's so easy to lose focus of the big picture. Peter is finally getting to the end of his life. And he said, no, it's not all about me. It's not all about my little throne. It's not all about me being in charge of some section with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the bigger picture. It's all about the fact that, you know, people, the neighbors over here, they're probably going to die and go to hell if we don't talk to them. The neighbors beside you at your house. And I know most of them don't want to listen, but it won't hurt to give them a track. The bigger picture. We've got to get our focus on the bigger picture. You know, we get so comfortable. Jesus, God, and was Jesus really in the Old Testament? He said to the Israelites, you're going to go into the promised land. You're going to build your houses. You're going to do this and that. And you're going to totally forget about me. And they did. They got all wrapped up in the little picture. Now, we talked the other day about why are we here? Why? Was I born in a hospital? They take this little baby you just took downstairs, a little wee baby. Why is that baby here? So we could look and say, oh, isn't that cute? And then they get a little older, like Jed, we laugh at him, and he laughs at us. Is that the only reason? Alan took a picture of Jed last week, and he sent it to me. I said, give me a copy. So I uploaded it on my computer this morning, and my computer, it has the screen where I'm working, and I can slide stuff over to a second screen to get it out of the way. So his picture came up. It's the whole screen. They're looking at me over that chair. So I moved them over onto the other screen, and I just left them there. And I'm working away, and I'm looking at him. I said, what are you looking at? All the time I'm working, he's looking at me, those big eyes. He had a little grin on his face. And I kept looking at him all day. I kept looking at him. Quite frankly, I kept praying for him. I thought, why is he here? Why is that little baby that just went down? Why is he here? Are we here just so we can spend a little bit of time in the hospital nursery and everybody can say hello, well, congratulations, and then he's going to spend a little bit of time in the parking lot out there playing with other kids, and then he's going to go to church for a few meetings, and then he's going to get a job, and he's going to get a house, and then he's going to retire and die. Is that the only reason? No. We are here. Every single person is here for the bigger picture. And unless we find the will of God for our lives, we miss it all. Make the faith your faith, because according to your faith, so be it unto you. According to your faith. Well, your faith. What you believe, so be it unto you. Now, we also mentioned the trial of your faith. The trial of your faith, of what you believe. The trial of your faith. Your trial. We've said so many times, you don't learn how to sail a ship on calm waters. You're not going to know if the faith is going to stand unless you go through the storm. Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? The ship's going down. Oh, ye of little trust. You just didn't trust me. So he says, the trial of your faith. Then he said, little faith. Then he said, with us and with them, get that together. But here's the seventh one. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want more faith? It's a byproduct. We'll see that as we go through this chapter. So here's my advice. You want some advice? Read 2 Peter 7 times. Just read it for fun. You don't even need a notebook. No, read it 40 times to be better. But what we'll do is we'll, not Sunday, but a week from Sunday at 10:30 in the morning, we'll talk about chapter 1 or 2 Peter chapter 3. I don't care, but we'll see. What did you get when you read this 7 times? You will get a blessing. You will. We'll study that little book together. All right, let's pray. Father, it's written for our admonition. You said that. These things are written for our admonition. Help us to be admonished. In Jesus' name, amen.